Happy to welcome today a guy that I've known for a number of years in the internet marketing world. He has changed his hat just about as often as he changes his underwear. Well, I hope he changes his underwear that often. He reinvents himself kind of like I do as well. In fact, he is the reinvention expert. His name is Steve Olscher. He's also the publisher of Podcast Magazine. Today, we're going to talk all about the power, the power of podcasts. Steve, welcome to Joel.live.
Please keep clear of the doors. You are delaying the departure of this train.
I need you to do some voiceover work for me, man. Are you available?
You know, actually, I started with that. I was a DJ in college, and I did radio, and then I did nightclubs, and then I started my own business because there's a lot more money. And concurrent with that, I did local cable access commercials. So, you know, I played a doctor in one. I did the car lot one. Come on down. And yeah, been there, done that.
That's why we get along. You know, I do you know that I owned a nightclub? I owned a non-alcoholic nightclub when I was 19. I don't know if you know that or not.
I did not know that. In the Chicago area?
It's Southern Illinois. Yeah. Just off the campus of where I went to college at Carbondale there.
Carbondale. Yeah. Southern. No, I didn't know that. How did that go?
It went really good. You know, there was nothing for the teenagers to do. So we catered to the teenagers early from around 8 to about 11:30 or so. And then we closed down and cleaned up and only served those who were 18 and over. From midnight on till 3, 4, 5 in the morning, depending on when people wanted to go home. And we didn't serve booze, so we could stay open as late as we wanted.
And now all these years later, you know, you're an author, you've built sites, you've put on events. I've spoken at a couple of your events. And a couple of years ago, I remember when you started talking about wanting to publish a magazine in the podcasting world. And we had a call or two about that. And now you have a digital publication, and it looks by the looks of what I see behind you that you're going physical. Ooh.
See the glossy.
Super glossy with Jenna Kutcher on the cover of that one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What drew you to the podcast world?
You know, man, I actually became familiar with podcasting through a mutual friend of ours, Jason Van Orden, way back when. As a matter of fact, when you spoke at Internet Profits Live, which was the event that you spoke at, my event that you spoke at twice over the years, Jason actually spoke at that same event in 2013 as you did. So Jason first introduced me to podcasting kind of indirectly. I just found his show and found some stuff he was doing. Back in 2009. And like you, I had spent time DJing. As I said, I opened my own nightclub. I did radio stuff as well. And I was like, man, this is awesome, because it's almost like having your own radio station. And for me, radio has always kind of felt like the holy grail. And back 10 years ago now, whatever it was, you would have to buy broker time. You'd have to own your own radio station. Like, it was really, really hard to get any sort of airtime. And of course, you'd only reach those in your immediate geographic area. So I was like, yeah, I love this idea of having my own sort of broadcast station, so to speak. And that's what really got my foot in the water there. And in 2009 is when I released my first episode, and kind of went up and down and up and down with it in terms of consistency. And from 2015 on, we've been releasing episodes weekly with both Reinvention Radio, and then more recently with Beyond Eight Figures.
Well, you've become quite a podcast expert, because you've really immersed yourself in the space. And, you know, I want to start with this story that just broke this week about Joe Rogan leaving YouTube and signing.
Who's that?
Yeah. Who? Only the Joe? Biggest. Yeah. Maybe some guy named Joe. So, Bro Kogan.
Got to look into him.
Hulk Hogan. Signed
that guy,
a contract with Spotify that is estimated to be $100 million. That, to me, if there was a barometer for the future of podcasting, talk about that story and your thoughts on that whole deal.
So it's really interesting. So there's been a couple of really interesting deals, big deals take place recently. Podcast One just got acquired by Live in an all stock transaction, where Podcast One, they get to about 2 odd billion downloads annually. they were acquired for $18 million in an all stock transaction. And, you know, they've got Adam Carolla and Shaquille and T.I. and, you know, all kinds of different celebrity type folks are on their network, and then other people as well. So 2.1 billion downloads, $18 million. Okay. I talked to Norm about that. I can give you some details on that, but let's just compare it to what Spotify did with Joe Rogan. So Joe, by some estimates, gets about 190 million downloads a month, 190 million. I mean, it's a huge number, but if we play that out, it's 2.4 billion, right? So let's just say he gets 200 million downloads monthly, annualized, it's 2.4 billion for $100 million. So in the scheme of things, Live by Live got a much better deal. I mean, a much better deal. It's not even close. Now, all of that said, I think it's fantastic that the Podcast One deal happened. And I think it's fantastic that the Rogan deal happened, because reality is, for many podcasters, well, that conversation around what am I actually doing here? Like, what's my end game? And is there even the opportunity to scale and exit? I think that question has been answered quite concretely now.
Well, let's talk about the business of podcasting then, because, you know, there's a lot of people that got in early, people like you, you know, Paul Colligan, Adam Carolla. I've been doing, you know, live video and podcasting since 2008. And this is not our first rodeo, but there's a lot of people that are increasingly having trouble getting their content seen or heard. YouTube is getting more challenging. You know, there's more blogs out there than ever before. And there's, you know, you don't just start Podcast Magazine because you think, oh, this is the thing of the past. You start it because you see you're still at the beginning, the early adopter phase of this curve. But how many podcasts are out there right now?
Yeah, so it's interesting. When I first started the New Media Summit, which is a live event that we do where we bring in top podcasters and we give attendees the opportunity to pitch them and get booked on their shows, there was about 450,000 podcasts when we started that event in 2017. And at that time, I was pushing people pretty heavy and just saying, look, you got to jump into this mix. In March of this year, we just crossed 1 million available podcasts. So what does that mean, though? It doesn't mean there are actually 1 million podcasts that you can listen to with new content, because roughly 40-odd% of those shows have stopped producing new shows. So let's just say there's about 430,000 active shows. And of those, only about half of them have more than 10 episodes. Mm. So if we're looking at the raw data, Joel, then only about 200,000-odd podcasts are consistently releasing episodes and have more than 10 episodes available. So it's not a huge number, especially when you compare it to, you know, you can look at YouTube as an example, and there's 23-odd million active YouTube channels with consistent content being created. You can look at Instagram, right? I mean, 500 million daily users on Instagram. TikTok, of course, is blowing up, and so on and so forth. So what does that mean, especially since podcasts have been around for so long? Why hasn't there been this exponential hockey stick type growth as you see with some of these other channels? And in my opinion, I believe the reason is technology has finally caught up with demand. And you've been in this game for a long time. And so you remember the days of trying to download and listen to a podcast. Like, if you weren't fully committed to the process, you weren't going to listen to those shows, right? Because you had to go find it, you had to grab it, you had to get a podcatcher, you had to, you know, bring it into a file, then you had to take the file and put it into a player. It's like, oh my God, right? I mean, it's just so many steps. Now, what you can see is on your phone, you push a button, you get access to a podcast, you drive in your car, Apple CarPlay, Google CarPlay, right there on the dash, you push a button, you can access those podcasts. Matter of fact, in all of the cars, for the most part, there are some rare exceptions, but in all of the cars that are rolling off the assembly line right now, it's actually easier to access a podcast from your dashboard of your car than it is to access AM and FM radio.
That is super interesting. And, you know, during the corona quarantine, I thought we would see a bump in listenership to our shows. And actually, it's really an indicator of how many people listen in their cars and on the go. We actually saw a slight decrease.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And so the commute has really, it's come to light in terms of really what happens then as people are going from point A to point B. And I don't think people were really consciously aware of how much consumption takes place on the go. And that's one of the beautiful things about podcasting, is because it is a mobile medium and because it is a medium that you can multitask while consuming. Like if you're watching a video, you pretty much can only watch the video. It takes all of your time and takes all of your attention. Versus with a podcast, you can be, you know, you can be outside walking around, you can be on your commute to work, you can be doing the dishes, whatever it might be, and you get the benefit of that content right there in your ears. So yeah, there's definitely been a slight hit. It hasn't been massive, but there's definitely been a slight hit. But what is interesting is the number of downloads has been impacted slightly during the quarantine. But what actually has seen a nice little bump is interest in podcasts, in terms of people being aware of podcasts who were not aware of podcasts before. So that in the long run is going to lead to more consumption, more downloads.
Well, they've gone through the whole Netflix catalog and they're like, now what do I do? Right. You know, I've chilled on the sofa. Now I got to get on the treadmill at least, or go out and walk. I'm going to listen to something. What's new? And I've discovered a couple entertaining podcasts during this time. There's one. Are you a fan of Scrubs, the TV show?
I can honestly say I've never seen a full episode.
Oh my gosh. One of the funniest, most clever.
Is it?
Oh yeah. What a fantastic sitcom. Zach Braff came, you know, was the lead on it, and Donald Faison. And on the show, they're, you know, two doctors, you know, a practitioner and a surgeon, and they become bros. I mean, they have a bromance on the show. Well, in real life, the humans, the actors, actually have that same bromance, and they started a podcast. It's called Fake Doctors, Real Friends. And they revisit these episodes, and it's like, okay, so you just earned yourself 9 seasons worth of podcasts right there if you guys were to continue this. So, you know, with podcasting being such a great opportunity, who, you know, what kind of person should look at starting, considering doing a podcast?
Yeah, it's an interesting medium from the standpoint of, if it can be very, very effective, right? I mean, I am a huge proponent, obviously, of the medium, and you'd really be hard pressed to find a better ROI in terms of the investment of your time, your energy, and your resources, insofar as generating highly targeted leads and being able to bring people into your ecosystem than you can through podcasting. What I will say is that it is becoming increasingly difficult to compete with the bigger players. It's not even the 1%. It's like the 1/10 of 1% game as far as podcasts are concerned. There's only about 1,000 shows or so that really get the lion's share of all of the downloads. I mean, it's one of the reasons why we started Podcast Magazine too, is to help bring awareness to some of these awesome shows that you probably haven't heard of, but should be listening to. And what I will tell you is that for most mere mortals, those who don't have a huge platform, right? I mean, when you look at somebody like Will Ferrell, I mean, Joel, I don't know if you saw this or not, but when Will Ferrell launched season 2 of the Ron Burgundy podcast, he appeared on Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and Stephen Colbert on the same night to promote the launch of season 2 of the Ron Burgundy podcast. So what does that mean? It just means that you're not going to compete against Will Ferrell, period. And that's fine, but you don't have to compete against Will Ferrell. If you look at the medium from the standpoint of it being a driver to relevant products, programs, and services, and establishing credibility and authority for you in the space, then it's the right tool, right? Because there are people every single moment of every single day who are using the search boxes, just like they use on Google to find whatever content it is or information it is that they're looking for. They're doing the same thing on Spotify, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, on Anchor, on Apple Podcasts, to find shows that are very, very niche specific. Let me give you an example. Like, we have a client who launched a show called The Profitable Photographer. Well, what's The Profitable Photographer show about? Obviously, it is about creating a profitable photography business. Okay, great. Who's going to listen to a show called The Profitable Photographer? Photographers, right? So the reality is, one would think, right? So the reality is it going to compete against the Ron Burgundy podcast in terms of downloads? Heck no, no way, not ever going to happen. But even if 50 people download every single episode and listen and consume and become familiar with who Lucy is and just really get into her world, that's basically the equivalent, Joel, of speaking. Like, I liken podcasts to free stages, basically, right? I mean, like, would you take a speaking gig? Like, think about you, Joel, right? Like, if 50 people raised their hand and said, I have an interest in crypto, as an example, and I need the best of the best to teach me what to do in the space of crypto, and they raise their hand and they're sitting there and they absolutely are just hanging on every word, do you think you could enroll some of those folks into relevant products, programs, and services? You know, and Certainly. And would you take that speaking gig if only 50 people were there, but all 50 people had already raised their hands or filled out a form to say, I am 100% interested in this topic? Would you take that gig?
Of course, absolutely. By the way, I love how your approach here, because there's other people out there that would say they take something that's, you know, developing and has a lot of promise. Let's just say somebody like whose name rhymes with by Schmopez, and they would take this as an opportunity and say, you can be huge. Look at what Joe Rogan's doing. Look at what Will Ferrell's doing. You can be like that. And what you're doing is saying, look, you're probably not going to be Joe Rogan or Will Ferrell, but that doesn't mean that there's not smart business opportunity for you. So yeah. I appreciate that, because you're not downplaying the opportunity, but you're not overplaying it.
Yeah, and here's how I liken podcasts to the world of business right now, which is very, very simple. If you have a business card, you need to have a podcast. If you have a website, you need to have a podcast. It's just as simple as that. I'm not saying it is the business card of today, but I am saying that if you are in business, you need to have a podcast that supports the business that you created. And so I am all about everyone having their own show. That said, you don't need your own show to benefit from the power of the medium. As a matter of fact, where I really push people into the pool, and what we teach people how to do first, is to be a really good guest on podcasts and let everyone else do all of the work. And you come in and you share your expertise. And it's really just like it is with you right here, right now. I mean, it's your job, ostensibly, to kind of make me famous. Like, you have to market the show. You have to do the production. You have to get the downloads. And I come in and share my expertise for a little while. But really, it's on you then to do everything else outside of course, you know, if you're a good guest, you're going to share on social and so on and so forth. But it's a great way to kind of dip your toe in the water. And the reality is there are tens of thousands of shows that are looking for guests just like you right now.
Okay, so let's hit some high points there. I know you've got depth on this, that it's not just a simple, hey, in 20 minutes, we're going to tell you everything you need to do. But somebody has never been on a show, right? Or maybe just once, and they want to be on a podcast. What do they do?
Yeah. So it all really begins with answering the core. I believe this is the most important question any business owner, whether you're a coach or an author or a speaker or a healer, or it doesn't matter where you are. If you are in business, the first fundamental question, the foundational question that you have to be able to answer is, what conversation do I most want to be part of? And that requires you to focus. It's really identifying what we call your topic of influence, which is in one or two or maybe three words, how do you articulate what it is that you focus on? Let me give you an example. So for us, an example of a conversation, right? The conversation that we most want to be part of is podcasting. Okay. One word, very, very simple. For Joel, maybe it's crypto, maybe it's online marketing, maybe, you know, whatever Joel's hat is of the moment there. So, or maybe it's hair, you know, iFart apps or those sort of things. Right. But the bottom line is, if I really want to be in the conversation around podcasting and I've made that determination, how do I put myself at the hub of that wheel so that all of the spokes connect to me? Right. Because if you think about, like Joel earlier was talking about Joe Rogan's deal, and I had mentioned Podcast One's acquisition and so on. Reinvention Radio, Beyond Eight Figures, the shows that I've been doing for years, if I may say so myself, they're good shows, but I'm not going to be able to compete with Joe Rogan from a numbers standpoint. Like if people are talking about podcasts and podcasting, I'm not in that conversation solely based on the number of downloads that my shows have. As a matter of fact, if you go to Apple Podcasts right now and you go under entrepreneurship, which is one of our subcategories, or if you go under personal journals, which is another subcategory, you won't even find our shows it won't show up on the screen. Right? We are not in the top group of those shows. So how do I force my way into that conversation so that if people are sitting around at tables, and this is, again, what you have to think about is step one here, is if you go to a party and there are people sitting around at tables having different discussions, like one table is talking about crypto. Maybe Joel wants to go sit at that table. One conversation is health and fitness. Another is politics. Another is podcasting, whatever it might be. Which table are you going to sit at and force your way into that conversation? So the point being,
I want the one that has dessert at it.
Well, there you go. Dessert and black coffee for you, my brother. So the question is, how do you force your way into that conversation, right? Again, on the merits of the podcast alone, it wasn't going to happen. Now that we created Podcast Magazine, literally everyone in the vertical wants to connect with us. The celebrities want to be on the cover. They want to be in the magazine. Those who have supporting ancillary products want to be featured, et cetera, et cetera. So we have made ourselves the hub of that wheel that no matter where you are in the vertical, you want to connect with us and what we're doing. So in other words, that's how I forced my name into that conversation. So that's really, Joel, where it all begins, is having clarity around the one, two, or three words that defines your topic of influence, or another way of thinking about it would be the conversation that you most want to be part of. That's number one.
Can we take either a fictional or a real use case from somebody you've worked with that you can share their experience of, you know, here's the subject matter and sure, how did they proceed with this first step?
Yeah. So perfect example. And this is fairly obvious because this is what this gentleman was doing. But his name is Dr. Bill Williams. Dr. Bill Williams is a dentist. He's been a dentist for, I don't know, 30, 40 years or however long it's been. He's had a really successful practice and did a pretty good job of, you know, making a name for himself. But he really wants, in his later years here, he wants to be able to scale and leverage his knowledge, right? And be able to create group type programs or, you know, higher end VIP type days to teach other practitioners how to really grow their business. So he started his own podcast called the 10K a Day Dentist, which means obviously if you're a dentist and you want to get to $10,000 a day, this is the show that you should be listening to. And so he's established himself in that brand in that way as the 10K a Day Dentist. And so he has his own shows, credibility, authority, connecting with people in the industry. And of course, dentists who are tuning in, many of them want to figure out, well, how can I do it too? And they enroll Bill to help them. And if he's a guest on shows, he's positioning himself as the 10K a Day Dentist. And again, just very clear, pretty obvious. I mean, that's been his profession. And oftentimes we focus on, you know, what it is that we do best. And so what is our own experience? You look in the mirror, you know, what have you done over the years, et cetera, et cetera. And anyway, long story short is it was so super obvious for him to jump into the fray with this as his brand because he wants to help other dentists scale their practices. So maybe that's a good example there for you.
That's a great example. And I just showed people who are watching his Apple Podcasts page. He's done, looks like 15 episodes. He's got,
he's getting there.
5-star rating, you know, from those who have written a review. And I mean, you wouldn't, thinking about that, that is truly a micro niche, right?
Micro.
So, okay. Yeah. So that's for insert yourself in the conversation. He's been looking in people's mouths for decades and now he's using his.
Yeah. And I'll say this, which is he doesn't have any huge aspirations for the show, you know, to have 1,000 ratings and reviews and to have, you know, top positioning in his category. If even just 4 or 5 dentists tune into each episode, and you know, one of those ends up coming into his $25,000 annual mastermind, and he releases one episode a week. I mean, you know, 25K a week adds up pretty darn quick.
Right. That would be what we would call ka-ching.
Ka-ching.
Okay. So number two then.
So number two is once you figure out, and again, I'm thinking about this from the perspective of being a guest. So let's switch back to the conversation around being a guest on top shows. So once you have your topic of influence defined, again, that 1, 2, or 3 word description of really what that conversation is that you most want to be part of, that becomes your search term, right? So you take that word and you go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify or SoundCloud or whatever it is, and you pop that word. If it's obviously a podcasting platform, you don't have to put the word podcast after it. But if you go to Google and you say dentist podcast, that's a great way to start finding relevant shows. But again, if you just go to Apple Podcasts and you type in dentist or dentistry, et cetera, you're going to see shows that come up that are related specifically to that topic. So whatever your topic of influence is, again, whatever that 1, 2, or 3 word description is, that's what you're going to use as your search term to start finding relevant shows. And once you have that list of shows, of course, the natural next step, you got to start listening. So push play, listen, take notes, see if these are shows that even have guests. You know, believe it or not, a lot of shows don't bring people on for interviews. And so you start pitching shows that don't even bring guests on for interviews. It makes you look kind of dumb. Makes you look like you didn't even do your homework whatsoever before you send it out and pitched them. So start listening to shows.
By the way, I mean, you know, hosting the Bad Crypto Podcast, I get emails from, you know, PR firms saying Dr. So-and-so would make a great guest for your show. He's, you know, does SEO or whatever. And some, most time I just delete them. Sometimes I'll write back then and say, oh, so he's a blockchain expert. No, so you didn't take enough time. You're just spamming people, basically spamming every show. But at the same time, because, you know, what other opportunities, for example, would Dr. Bill have if there's not, you know, these dentistry podcasts? Where else should he be looking to get exposure? What kind of shows?
Yeah, so it's interesting, right? And it depends on what your business model is. And my, from my perspective, it really all goes back to the 7 habits of highly effective people. From the standpoint of you really do have to start with the end in mind. I mean, perhaps the best principle out of the, you know, out of the whole group there, and certainly something that I've taken to heart over the years and something that I teach, which is creating your profit path. So in other words, you want to have a very clear understanding of the customer journey that you want people who, well, let's take it back to the beginning. So I come on this show, you didn't know who I was, right? I mean, like, you don't know who I am. You've never heard of me before, or maybe you have, but let's assume that you haven't. I come on to the show. I start sharing my expertise. Hopefully I've developed enough of the know, like, and trust factor so that you're like, oh, that guy's pretty decently smart, hopefully. And, you know, and maybe you want to go to whatever that next step is. I have to have clarity on what that looks like, because ultimately I don't want to just have a nice conversation here with Joel and then say goodbye, thanks so much, see you later. This needs to be really the beginning of a relationship with those who are listening, as opposed to the end. And so the operative word here is bounce. We have to bounce people somehow into our ecosystem so that we can move people from being passive listeners to being active prospects, and then ultimately being loyal, borderline fanatic customers. So in order to
Let's demonstrate that right now, okay? Because I know that, you know, you're the publisher of Podcast Magazine, and yep. I'm going to share the screen right here and the URL for podcastmagazine.com. Then we'll get the rest of your point. So what is this?
In other words, what is Podcast Magazine?
Yeah, because I'm showing it to everybody right now.
Sure. So Podcast Magazine is a fan-facing, let's just call it a publication that is dedicated to fans of podcasts. In other words, what we do is we're not an industry journal. We don't, you know, we don't cover any of the things that podcasters would like. It's really, if you think of like People Magazine or Sports Illustrated or Wired, that's really what we're doing for the industry of podcasting in terms of we take people beyond the microphone and deeper into the lives of the podcasts and podcasters that they love and deeper into the stories that they can't get enough of. So it's a consumer facing publication, again, really dedicated to podcast fans.
And it's free. There's a digital version of it that's free.
For now, it is free. That is correct. Actually, that will be ending very, very soon. And even the digital publication, we will be charging for. But for right now, yeah, podcastmagazine.com, digital is free.
There you go, everybody. Sign up. So that's, you know, coming on the show to talk about podcasting is, you know, you're bringing your value, but at the same time, you're demonstrating how to then have people bounce to your website to get more information about your magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that would be a perfect example of, again, I come on, you don't know who I am. I demonstrate that I actually know something that's worth listening to. And I talk about Podcast Magazine. You're like, that sounds pretty cool. So that is the bounce right there, where people then go and they subscribe at podcastmagazine.com. And now I have the ability to communicate with them. I mean, you've got a lot of folks, you know, I'm watching the chat here, and you got, you know, lots of folks tuning in from around the world and sharing their thoughts. But I don't know who they are. I don't have any ability to connect with them because they're your fans. They're your listeners. They're your followers, Joel. So if I want to demonstrate my, you know, my expertise here and then develop that relationship with them, it has to take place here in terms of knowledge and expertise. And then after the fact, insofar as Podcast Magazine or the Ultimate Director of Podcasters or one of my books or whatever it might be, because then and only then do I move them from your platform to mine so that now I can have a conversation with them about what's relevant in our world.
Okay. So next step, got my intention that now that I'm here, I'm delivering value. Here's my why, you know, you're going to bounce here. And now we're going to continue that conversation. What's the next part?
Yeah. And so there are a lot of people who will just kind of just go slap happy at that point and just start inundating you with, you know, all sorts of different offers and this, that, and the other. We're more of a relationship driven company, and we want to just continually demonstrate value, 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 and add to your life, add to your business in the ways that we uniquely can. And so after we demonstrate our value, we help, we answer, I mean, we do what we can do to help people accomplish their goals and objectives, then we have our own profit path that leads to low-priced products, programs, services, mid-priced product programs and services, and then, you know, we have some fairly deep-pocketed investment products, programs, and services that only a handful of people will say yes to over the course of a year. But again, it really is necessary out of the gate to have a clear profit path in terms of where you want people to go from the moment they hear about you to whatever that last step is on the path that someone can take with you.
I want to be on a show, and I want to reach out to the show in the right way. Maybe just kind of on the fly, if somebody wanted to be on your podcast, be that person reaching out and writing you an email. What would that sound like in order to get your attention so that you would at least consider having?
Yeah. And so it's a great question. And one of the things that we do give away in terms of one of the ad values to our community is we have our proven to convert fill in the blanks email templates for that exact purpose, right? So we just give those away as a gift. Let me give you an example of what that might sound like. For one of my favorite templates that we use is the You Got It Wrong template, which basically starts out with the subject line of You Got It Wrong in episode 256 or whatever that might be. And so if somebody is pitching Reinvention Radio, what they would say is something to the extent of subject line, You Got It Wrong in episode 256. That might sound something like this in the body, you know, hey, Steve and Rich and Mary, because I co-host the show with Rich and Mary, you know, hey, Steve, Rich and Mary, love your show. I have to, you know, just let you know, though, that you got it wrong. Or I think you got it wrong, whatever, in episode 256. And here's why. They said this. Here's the fact. Da, 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 da. And just so that, you know, you don't feel as though I'm just coming down on you, here's a screenshot I recently took of the 5-star review that I left for you guys because I absolutely love your show. Under that, with that picture, let's talk about it in terms of how I would have answered that question. If you're looking for a different guest with a different perspective on that subject, da, 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 da. So the bottom line is controversy, show them some love, invitation, let's go.
That's attention getting, right? So yeah. It's because we will open that, right? Some people might be offended by that, but you're going to open it. And once you read it, when you realize I want to add value to what you're doing. Most people aren't going to be offended by that. They'll be curious.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the key is do it in a playful way. When you're saying you got it wrong, you're not insulting them and you demonstrate. I mean, look, as podcasters, our currency is very, very simple. Ratings, reviews, subscribes, and downloads. So if you take a screenshot of the 5-star review that you just left for our show and you include that in the email, that does a couple of different things. Number one, it shows us that, well, you understand what's most important to us, which is ratings and reviews. So thank you for that. And then number two, it demonstrates that you've actually listened to the show. So now it's a subscribe and download, and you're just checking all the boxes. And it shows that you've done your homework and you know what we're about and you understand the perspective that we come from. And you've spun it in a way where now we understand who you are and the unique value that you bring to the table. So it just that very simple template accomplishes so much very, very quickly.
It's kind of basic psychology, isn't it? Yeah, I think so many times, and we've seen this over the years, right? Being online so long, because we're old school, old dudes with gray hair and beards, and we've been here forever. People treat the online world, the digital world, as though it's somehow different than the real world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you wouldn't just walk up to somebody on the street and say, you should buy my stuff.
Yeah.
Not effectively anyway.
No, I was looking forward to see if it's real handy here. We have something called the Ultimate Directory of Podcasters that we release every year. I think you've seen that one, Joel. And so the Ultimate Directory of Podcasters, basically it's detailed contact information for 670 leading podcasters. I mean, we give them we go through the whole nine. We get the picture, the show, the description, the URL, you know, I mean, like everything that you need, the categories. And we even go so far as to get their email address for you so that when the time is right, you can reach out and say, you know, hey, I'd love to potentially be a guest on your show. Reality is I spend the first 5 pages telling people not to use the directory because that's exactly what people do, man, is they get this directory and they just start spamming people out. And I'm like, here are 5 pages with tons of reasons why you're not ready to start pitching the people in this directory. Keep it as a resource. Do these things first and then perhaps reach out to them. But you're right. It's like, you know, it's like marriage on the first date or whatever. I mean, it just, there's a certain cadence that you have to adhere to in order to find success in getting booked as a podcast guest, if that's your goal.
I don't think I have seen that directory and would love to see it.
Yes. MyUltimateDirectory.com. Darn it. Go get that bad boy.
Why not? And it's updated. It's current.
It is our 2020, myultimatedirectory.com. Go get it.
My ultimate directory.com. How do I not know this?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's possible to keep up with all my friends and everything they're doing.
But I got a few things going on.
Yeah, don't we all? Let me pull this up so everybody can see this, myultimatedirectory.com. So really, for you, this is a great way to put people into your funnel.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. So like right now, if we're talking about, hey, you know, be a guest on a show, go find these people. We were talking about the different, you know, steps of this process. Take your topic of influence, put it in the box, listen to the shows. Then you got to go out and you got to find their contact info and all that. So if I'm literally taking people through that entire process, and then I turn around and say, hey, we've done all the work for you. All you got to do is pick up the ultimate directory of podcasters and all their contact info and everything is in there. It's broken down by category, this, that, and the other. Then it's a real simple, easy yes, especially because it's chock full of 670, right? I mean, if it was a giveaway that had like five or 10 podcasters, I mean, you might sit back and go, I don't know that I want to give up my name and email address to get that. But since it's 670, it's a pretty easy yes. And that's exactly a perfect example of how to bounce people into your ecosystem. And that's a perfect, you know, type of giveaway. Sure.
Right. And you've, there's an upsell on that page, which makes a lot of sense, right, to bring them into. So what do you do when you, you know, this new media event that you have? What does that look like?
So the New Media Summit would be a perfect example of a step on our profit path, right? So free, low, mid, high. So the New Media Summit would fall under the category of a mid-priced offer. And we think it's a steal at what we have it priced at now, because what we do is we give every attendee the opportunity to take center stage and to pitch top podcasters on who they are and what they do. And they literally get booked on the spot. So our average attendee comes to the New Media Summit and leaves with 22 bookings in hand. And knowing what some of the other folks charge who have these podcast booking agencies, I mean, you're looking at, you know, $2,500 a month at a minimum for them to book you on maybe five shows. The ticket price on that is just under $3,000. And as I said, the average attendee gets booked on 22 shows. So just dollar for dollar, it's about a quarter of that price. But you know, it's a really fun event, man, that we've been doing since, 2017, and, God willing, our next one is in, September in San Diego.
Yeah. What's the website for it?
Newmediasummit.net.
Newmediasummit.net. And let's pull that up here as well. For those of you that are doing the visuals, let's see. It's one T in Summit, right?
There is usually one T in Summit. True.
Yeah. There we go.
Summit.net. Yes.
That was just being a little wonkified there. But let's pull this up here and you guys can get a look at it. Newmediasummit.net. Here it is. And if you're a business owner who has a powerful message to share with the world, but the world doesn't know it yet, this is your invitation to attend the New Media Summit. There's your free.
Oh, I like it. You got to do our voiceover. Oh, we got to fix that Vimeo. Okay. Nice. Vimeo's got an issue right now, huh? No,
it's not that. It's I have all kinds of blockers turned up.
And so there you go.
In order to play, you know, we got to click the little thing here. Says I'm not a robot. Because I am not a robot. And then, yeah, see, that's not Vimeo. That is me specifically.
That's you with all your blockers. Okay, got it. Thank you, Tina. Tina is on it. And by the way, if you guys have questions, fire the questions in the chat. I do see them. And there was a question earlier, actually, that I wanted to answer. And yes, Nancy, we did cross over 1 million podcasts. Matter of fact, let me bring up the screenshot of my own here because I just saw
Which question did you want to answer? Because I can put that right up here on the screen.
Is she Nancy Leas Mirland, I think? Yeah. And she was just asking the question of, that was their second question, which is correct, about 25%. Of the total number of podcasts have 10 or more episodes and consistently release new episodes. As of April, I believe we were over 1 million, one already. So in about 45 days, it's added about another 100,000. So now we're right around 1,000,001.
So you're not looking at a metric of how many downloads to consider what's a success. If you're getting 50 people listening to your show and you're converting them into a product that's paying the bills, then you have a successful podcast.
I would say so. And again, this is where you have to go in with a clear understanding of Stephen Covey's, you know, starting with the end in mind. If you were going into the podcast arena with the hopes of dethroning Will Ferrell or, you know, Shaq or Joe Rogan, you know, I mean, good luck with that. You're not going to compete with NPR. You're not going to compete with the ESPN or, you know, the Ringer or Wondery or Cadence or like all, I mean, there is massive amounts of money. And by the way, if you have massive amounts of money, reach out for me. It's steve@steveulcher.com and let's chat. But you know, unless you have a massive amount of money to throw at your show, you're not going to end up dethroning the folks that have held those top positions for quite some time. So what do? Well, you don't give up on the medium. You just have a different goal. You have a different objective. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different reasons to create a show. I mean, three main reasons. You know, one is, of course, to build community, right? I mean, that's certainly one reason to do it. One is to build your bank account. And that's certainly a good reason to do it. And the third is to build your credibility and your authority. And so, right, like, I mean, like if you look at Podcast Magazine, I could not get Jenna Kutcher to come on to Reinvention Radio. I could not get Katie Couric or Adam Carolla or Dave Ramsey to come on to Reinvention Radio or Beyond Eight Figures. They would not respond. We had tried in the past. Now, they all open the doors and say, come on in, let's sit down, let's chat. We'd love to do a story for Podcast Magazine, right? So again, the bottom line is it just depends on what your goal or your objective is. And if it's a credibility authority thing and you just simply want to establish yourself as an expert in your niche, mission accomplished. If it's a bank account thing, then I know you talked about this earlier, Joel, is you really have to look at it from the standpoint of not looking at your podcast as a business, because very few people can do that, but instead looking at it more holistically in terms of leveraging the business of podcasting. And that's a very different animal. So again, goal, objective, whatever that is, go in with clarity.
Do you see, as we get ready to wrap up here, as terrestrial radio loses market share to satellite radio, is there a time where the lines are going to blur between podcasts and radio? Are we going to start seeing shows that originate online become more part of the terrestrial and the satellite radio ecosystem? And pretty soon it's just going to be like right now when we say watch TV, that could mean put a DVD in. It could mean go to Netflix, Amazon Prime, CBS, NBC, HBO,
sure,
YouTube. It's so many things. And is radio going to become like that as well?
I don't think terrestrial radio is going to go away by any stretch. You know, I think if it was going to have died, it would have died. One can argue that AM radio has been kind of living this slow death for years now, but it just won't die. So I don't think that we're going to find terrestrial radio going completely away anytime soon. You're going to see people being very smart about what they do in terms of taking a hybrid approach. And actually next month, in the July issue of Podcast Magazine, we sat down with Dave Ramsey from Ramsey Solutions. And he wants to be known as Dave Ramsey from Ramsey Solutions, by the way. And he's really taking a more holistic approach to the medium and has been doing so for years. And so that is a really good example of someone who is learning how and has, let's just say, I mean, I think he's perfected the art of taking a terrestrial radio show and adapting it for the other media platforms. So terrestrial radio, I don't think it dies for whatever reason. Until you and I and our generation goes away, it's still going to be there. That said, my kids aren't going to listen to it. Your kids aren't going to listen to it. You know, I mean, Molly's kids who's on, hey, what's up, Molly? You know, they're not going to listen to it. So it's not going to die while we are alive. But I think that it's going to be in a hell of a pickle coming up here very, very soon. And even email marketing and so on, you know, we do very well with email marketing because our avatar are, you know, the people that we serve are people who still believe in opening up an email. Mm-hmm. Our kids will never open emails. They just won't. So how do you reach them? you better work on your TikTok game, brother.
Right. Maybe, you know, in the future, will you see Facebook getting into podcasting? Do you see TikTok getting into, you know, the syndication of just short video?
So. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it's really apples and oranges. And I think that there's always going to be a place for the medium of audio, period, end story. You're always going to have audio storytelling. As a matter of fact, if you look at what's really interesting is in each issue of Podcast Magazine, we release what we call the Hot 50. Mm-hmm. And the Hot 50 is created based on fan votes. So it has nothing to do with ratings or reviews or subscribes or downloads. People go to podcastmagazine.com/hot50 and they vote for their top three favorite podcasts, period, end story. And so if you look at the chart, you'll see that the chart is inundated with podcasts that fall under the true crime category. People love stories, you know, and stories told well via the medium of audio is still really, really hard to beat. Hmm. And so video has its place, but so does audio.
Which it's kind of full circle. Something's never changed because before you and I were born, our parents or grandparents really used to sit around the radio and do what? Listen to stories, right? Yeah. The original radio was theater of the mind. And that has made a resurgence because human nature doesn't change. And being able to listen to us, I mean, I remember listening to Homecoming, you know, when that came out on podcasts, and I was totally enamored with it. Then the video version came out with what's her name? Julia
Aaron Brockovich. No. Oh, Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Julia Roberts on Amazon, and it lost my interest. Mm. I found the audio version more than the video.
A lot of people thought for years that books were going away. You know, that who on earth, if you have an e-reader and you can put 12,000 books on this e-reader, why on earth would anyone want to have a physical book in their hands? People have said for years that publishing industry is just going to be decimated. It is going away. And it hasn't, because there are still people, and even you're starting to see, now that's an interesting conversation, because you're starting to see a lot of people, even in the younger generations, taking to physical books. So there has been actually a resurgence with a lot of the YA titles and so on, finding a place and having appeal with that particular market. So the point being, and to, you know, just to kind of put a bow on this, Joel, in terms of what we're talking about here, is you'll start to see a lot of shows get picked up that start out as podcasts and being adapted to other platforms. I mean, you're seeing that all the time now with podcasts getting optioned and getting turned into movies and so on and so forth, and going on to TV and you know, Amazon series and so on. You're starting to see quite a bit of that. But at the same token, when you have diehard fans who read a book and then that book is turned into a movie and they go, oh my God, that movie was horrible, so much worse than the book. I believe you're still going to see that in comparison's sake to what we're seeing with audio, where you're just going to have folks who are like, okay, fine, I'll go ahead and I'll give it a try here as far as the video is concerned. But ultimately going back to saying, I really liked it much better as a podcast.
When are we going to get Joe Rogan, the motion picture, right?
It's he a is point the motion picture.
He is. There will be a documentary, multiple ones probably, because he continues to make history and was there in the beginning. Yeah. Steve Olscher, America's, what, you had something else you wanted to say?
One more thing I was going to say. Yes, thank you for the close there. But one more thing I was going to say.
An expert, but go ahead.
I am America's reinvention expert. But one more thing that I was going to say is what I know to be true, Joel, is that the more that we focus on pull media, which basically means that the consumer decides what they want to consume, when they want to consume it, and on their preferred device, you're still going to see growth in those arenas. And so podcasting falls under the category of a pull medium, right? Because it's not a push medium where it's just a select number of people in a room who decide, hey, this is the content that's going to go out. You're on that channel. Whether or not you decide to stay on that channel is up to you. Pull media is 100% opt-in. It's 100% click-through rate if we're talking about email marketing, right? 100% of the people are raising their hands to say, I want that. And a lot of people do. There's always going to be a market for pull media, for sure.
And that's the last word, but not the final word, on podcasting. SteveOlscher.com is his website, or you can go and, while it's still available, go to podcastmagazine.com. Well, I should say, while it's still available for free.
For free, exactly.
Right now, lifetime membership to the digital version, podcastmagazine.com. Everybody should go check it out. Steve, appreciate you, your friendship, and your awesome content. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir. Good to see you again.
And stick around for just a moment. Talk to you here after the show. I'm going to wrap things up here. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Appreciate all the love, the comments, the shares, the watch parties. My next episode is going to be absolutely fantastic. We're going to look into the future with one of my favorite futurists. Her name is Kathy Hackle, and she worked at Magic Leap for a time. She is on the cutting edge of VR, AR, AI, machine learning, and what is coming next. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll catch you guys then. Until that time comes about, my friends, do good stuff.